Hey, 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 welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, it's geekly. We bring you pop culture stuff and keep your goddamn hands to yourself. Oh my god. Once again, it's me, it's your host Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my lovely co-host and our rotating guest or co-host, depending on how you say it, but he's a co-host now. But would either of you like to tell the people on the internet who it is that you are right now and probably will always be?
I can't speak for the future, but for right now, I am Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Bear on Tumblr, Steph on my Animal Crossing Island, Lassie to Boris, my one villager, and Hello Steph on Instagram, and that's who I am. How I am is a different story, but you know, keep on keeping on.
Cool, cool.
And I continue to be Eric. Tindilosi on the Twitter, and that's the only social medias that I have and will continue to have.
The only way you can find him.
Yeah. Here's your weekly statement of delete your Facebook, hit the gym, lawyer up.
I think I don't need to hit the gym to kick Zuck's ass.
No. Kick his ax too.
Kick his ax and his ass. It's fairly kickable.
They're unrelated devices, but still good devices nonetheless. But yeah, how are you two, how are you all doing today, just in general? Keeping on, keeping on? Is that the party line we're rocking with today?
Oh yeah, it's been another week of quarantine.
There's a leftist book podcast, like publishing podcast, that every week they post, "Welcome to another week of books," and, because publishing is always having some sort of mess.
Oh, that's fair.
And that's kind of where I'm at personally. Welcome to another week of Stephanie.
That's every industry at this point. But before we get into that, I want to continue the announcement for the people who, you know, people who listen to us that might not maybe get to the end, but we are doing a charity stream this coming Saturday, July the 11th, from noon Eastern Standard Time to midnight Eastern Standard Time. So July 11th to July 12 p.m. Eastern.
July 11th and a half.
To July 11th at 11:59 EST, or maybe longer, depending on how things go. But we're going to, you know, be raising a little bit of money. Pretty modest goal. Nothing too high. We're not shooting for anything wild, but we do want to raise a little bit of money for the Transgender Law Center, I believe. Correct?
Yes.
And
that's the move.
They have some good ideas about, you know, they say, like, all Black Lives can't matter to all Black Lives Matter, which is, you know, that includes our LGBT friends and family as well, you know, and specifically transgender.
And our LGBT enemies.
We want them to have rights.
We may hate them, but we still want them to have rights.
Yeah, we want people to be our enemies because they're bad people, not because of their gender. That's a shitty reason to dislike somebody. But, you know, it just involves law and very things like that, you know, helping people get fair representation. A worthy goal. So that's why we want to help with that. And we'll be doing, you know, lore discussions, tier lists, maybe playing some games and showing some games off. Different things like that, sorting people into, like, or characters into, like, avatar nations and that sort of thing.
And just people, too.
Yeah, people, too, as well. you know, so it'll be a fun time. Come hang out. Donate if you can, but you know, if you can't financially, your time means a lot to us anyway, so that's all good.
Out.
So,
yeah, put eyes on the stream.
Yep, eyes on the screen on the stream.
And but, hey, if you can come hang out and like can't donate financially but can like boost it in some way that might bring other people to the stream, that's also a way you can help.
Yes, that helps a lot. So yeah, and we'll be having the same types of discussions we have on here, just shooting the breeze, you know, doing that modern 2020 telethon type deal.
But yeah, it's like it's gonna be a 12-hour long podcast.
Yes, with visuals.
Yes, yeah. I hear that there's a name for that, but I don't know what it is.
A talk show, right?
Yes.
But yeah, we have some pop culture news to talk about. There's only four things on this list.
And honestly, buckle up, because most of them are shitty.
Yeah. Are there any... Let's start with the least amount of people were harmed with one.
Yeah, the Crucible unreleasing.
Yeah. So
the unreleasing sounds like so, like, violent.
They brought it back.
So you may have heard us talk about before, there was a game called Crucible released from Amazon Games, and it did had a very poor reception and didn't do very well.
Had a very bad launch window. It just was not timed R.I.P. well.
To the B spot.
Yeah.
So they pulled it back into beta.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is if you had downloaded it at all, because it was free, if you downloaded it, you will be in beta permanently, basically. So I know, Dom, you had it on your Steam list.
I did. So well, no, I downloaded it, yeah.
Yeah, so you will continue to have beta access because apparently they value anybody who happened to play that game.
Oh, is it closed beta status? I didn't even look.
Yes.
They're just like, oh god, you were here, please.
Yeah. you know, and continue like that's a here. Like it's kind of unheard of for a company to be like fully release a game and then kind of pull it back like that. So, you know, you feel for the people who are working on it and probably put a lot of effort into it and just hope that they can actually make something out of it in the end, and hope that it's not in like a crunch manner or anything like that.
Yeah, I think more games could have done that. There's definitely some games that have quote unquote failed that didn't need to. Like,
yeah,
we talk about Battleborn a decent bit. A game that the people who played it liked it, and it's not even that game was broken, but I think you can give yourself a chance to do more or less a mulligan or a do-over if you're like, hey, we're going to pull it back to beta, so we basically, we can manufacture a second release.
And I guess, like, the most famous example of that happening that's, like, been the most successful is Final Fantasy XIV.
Yeah, a game that got completely just shut down. Tell them tell them about that.
I don't know this at all.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with it.
Wait, hold on.
Yep.
You should know about this. We played.
Did Final Fantasy 14 went back into production?
No, they just it stopped.
They shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Final Fantasy 14 initially released, I want to say, in like 2010. I could be wrong on that. I know it was around that time. And basically, it was universally panned as being like just a like absolute shit show. It was incredibly graphically advanced, but there were things like a potted plant had more polygons in it than like your character model. Like they put so much effort into like the little details that it was beautiful, but like nobody could run it. It was very poorly optimized, and on top of that, the game itself just wasn't really fun to play. Like they made a lot of questionable gameplay choices.
I didn't even know that video games existed in 2010, Dom. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was part of the plot of the FF campaign that we did for D&D.
Yes, yeah. So that was the kind of cool thing.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know about it.
Yeah, so what they ended up doing was they let it run for, it must have been like a couple years, and like basically let it play out its main story. And then when they were like, hey, we're going to, like, do this over. We want to, like, start this over again. They basically shut down the servers and in doing so created a world event where the moon crashed into the world and released Bahamut, who basically killed all of the player characters. And, like, or at least quote-unquote killed them. I don't know, like, there's lore stuff about that. But basically what that meant on the back end was that they were shutting the game down entirely and put it back into development, gave it a new development team, good like new head like lead developer, and spent a few years just completely revamping it and re-releasing it as Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn. And that came out in, I want to say, 2013. I don't want to be wrong about that, so I'm going to use the Google real quick.
Now I know what we're talking about. I remember us having that vision.
Yes. Yeah, that's the only reason I know about it. I'm not, like, a big lore expert on Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Boom, I was right. It was August 24th, 2013. But yeah, like, that was, and, like, ever since then, it's been, like, kind of pointed to as, like, the most successful, like, complete revamping of a game.
I'd say so. I hear so much about people liking it nowadays.
Yes, yeah. It's immensely popular, like, you know, there's discussion to be had whether it is more or less popular than World of Warcraft. Like, I'm sure numbers-wise, World of Warcraft still slays it, but...
Sure, but it had the momentum going.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not very... it's pretty rare for what is considered an Asian MMO to become as massively popular as Final Fantasy XIV did. So, I kind of, you know, I hope to see something similar from Amazon... what they're like the Amazon game devs what they're able to do with Crucible by taking it down and hopefully kind of like taking some of the lessons that they learned from their initial launch and from like watching other companies do something similar.
React to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just funny to see a company say something, we're putting it back into beta. But it's not that the game was broken. The game worked. The game functioned very smoothly as intended. It's just that it wasn't great.
Right. They just they unfortunately made a bad game. So,
and like, you know, and it wasn't bad enough to like get memes either. It was just like, this is fine. I don't want to play this anymore. I'll just go do something else. Like, not even in the frustrating way when you first play like a MOBA, like League of Legends, where you're like, oh, I got wrecked, but like, I see how this could be fun.
Mm-hmm, like, I can get better.
But, like, this was, like, I killed people, I'm like, well, that was, I could probably improve my aim, but that was kind of fair. And then the other people that killed me, I'm like, I don't even know how to stop that. Like, most of this is just me running around in nature, which is fine if that's the point of the game. There's a lot of games that are about running around in nature, but...
I was gonna say, if you're playing Animal Crossing, that's one thing.
Yeah, but I think this one was about, like, shooting, like, plant monsters and, like, other players, and it's like, I don't get to do that most of the time I'm playing this.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They made some strange decisions in its development, and, you know, I hope that they're able to make something of it, because otherwise, like, their only other upcoming release is another MMO, and the outlook for that, you know, is kind of rough as well, but yeah. I'm going to be trying it, because that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
But...
You're the MMO boy.
Yes, I am an MMO boy.
I think this is why you do the open beta. Like, I mean, half of it is like stress testing and seeing if it works, but honestly, a lot of it is to see if there's like a prevailing thought about some of your game mechanics. You know, when Valorant came out in that closed beta they did, I mean, that was a horrible way that they did it. It was a good way to drum up fake attention to it and fake viewership, but some of the operators or agents or whatever the terminology for the characters is in that game, I think it's agents, was some of them were just overtuned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's fine, that's part of it, but you know, that's a good time to say, hey, okay, well, does this work? Can our servers handle this? Like, are the systems working as intended? Are people enjoying them the way we thought? Like, yeah, cool. You know, when Overwatch was in its beta, Bastion had like a shield on the front of his body. And they're like, everyone who played, like, yeah. What were you thinking with that design choice? Like, ah, yes, this thing that's a turret that shoots 300 rounds in like 5 seconds has a front facing shield, so you have to get behind it. What were you thinking with that design choice? And like, oh yeah, good point, we'll take that out. But if you leave something like that in the game, the audience is like, yeah, this game's broken, not fun, I don't want to play it.
Yeah, it's also, you know, I hope that they have at least an established enough community that can provide that kind of feedback, because I think the main worry is, like, you know, there were sub 100 players on Steam, like, live on Crucible.
Oof.
Yes.
So, like, I think the biggest issue for them will be having enough people playing it to actually provide feedback.
So, yeah, I think you need to take the feedback that people were providing, like, just scour Twitter and all that stuff, and get your R&D department on that. But also, you know, you have to build some fake hype around it. Like, I don't give a shit if Amazon succeeds. I don't give a damn about the big company. I care about the game devs who work for them that, you know, probably put their lifeblood into this and were probably very passionate about it. And I want them to be successful, you know.
Yeah, and when they go to some other company to have Crucible, I see you worked on that on their resume, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, the greatest. Know, that's rough. As far as Amazon, I don't care. They Amazon,
they've got money, they're fine.
But I just don't want the developers who, like, put all the time and effort into that to not really see anything from it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since it's not like it was a bad idea and that kind of thing, so...
But yeah, that's the that's kind of the story with Crucible, and probably the most lighthearted thing that we currently have.
I guess in keeping with the lightheartedness, we can't do that, so I guess let's move on to something that's basically always been happening. That's where the bar is at right now, but The Last of Us 2 has come out, and people are upset about that game, because women. Actually, there's a lot of people who just didn't like it, but they were normal and just went about their day like, I think this could have been better. Oh, well, let me play something else. Which is a fine opinion to have. Everything's not for everybody, and, you know, maybe you won't like a game. But a lot of people are mad at this character Abby for being muscular and for plot spoiler things that I won't ruin because I don't know who all has gotten into it. But it's like the big spoiler that everyone knows about, which I guess is early in the game, but so they people are like sending death threats to the voice actress.
Yeah.
For some reason, and harassing Laura Bailey, and it's
men are bad.
Like, it makes no sense because it's like the voice actress has nothing to do with it. Like,
yep, that's true.
Sure is.
I think it just has to be. I mean, it's basically, it has to be sexism. I can't think of any other reason. Like, yeah, you're entitled and all that, but like, I'm not condoning harassment, but you would think the vitriol would be aimed at the writers and the people who made these decisions, not the people who are like, I just came into a box and did my job. Like, I saw some guy that said, yo, I didn't like The Last of Us 2, and I didn't like this character, but she did a fantastic job. But even if she didn't, why would you harass her? He's like, but I think she did an amazing job out of everybody. So it's like, yeah, it's not like these things are even, it's not like that's a quote-unquote honest mistake. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, I accidentally harassed the wrong person. Like, no, you're just being a shitbag. You know?
Yeah, imagine. Sorry, I was there's no way to apologize that, like, you know, like, oh, I was trying to harass someone else. I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, go fuck yourself. Also, like, I feel like it's one of those situations where, like, I think we've talked about with Tencent, like, that there's space for there to be an adequate critique of her character, especially, like, I've heard, or even of her playing the character, because I've heard at least some, this is secondhand listeners, so please take that with a grain of salt, and I don't think any of the three of us have played this game. We just know people who have. But I'm pretty sure the character ends up being trans, like a trans man.
I have no idea.
I think that was like what was or in just like the a headcanon? Leaks. I think it was what was in the leaks, but I think it ended up not being true.
Okay, that's what my brother told me, but it could have just been like heavily implied or something.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And so, like, if that was the case, then I can see people being like, oh, well, they should have gotten a guy to play this voice role, or, like, a trans guy to play this voice role, like...
Well, I'll go down that path all day, but from what I can tell, the people are mad, they're mad at her for X plot point, which I know what the plot point is, I just don't want to say
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. They're mad at her for character death.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like...
that she had no part in writing or creating.
Right. Yeah. Being mad at the writer who is shitty for other reasons.
Yeah, like, the writer who's talking about like his like
hatred for Palestinians.
How weird and gross his motivations for writing the first movie to be or first game to begin with were.
Yeah, you know, be mad at him like, for that and Twitter. And being so up his own ass about his like you know opus. Magnum opus or whatever, like I almost said opus magnum. but
some joke could be made like, there. Oh, yeah. Opus magnum would be a dope name for like a video game weapon. Or like something in like the name of a Metal Gear.
Yeah. But no, like, you know, be mad at him for like tooting his own horn as hard as he is, like constantly. And you know, like, stirring shit on Twitter, but, like, don't, like, leave the voice actress out of it, like...
Yeah. I mean, this is just, like, you know, this is just, like, people getting mad at, Kelly Marie Tran for being Rose in Star Wars.
Like, for being in Star Wars, like...
Yeah, it's like, she didn't do anything, and we can have the discussion whether or not that character was a good character. I have a lot of problems with how that character was utilized. And that's Rian Johnson's fault, and even more J.J. Abrams' fault. But, like, Kelly Marie Tran was just like, hey, it'd be cool if I had a job, so I'm going to go have a job. And people are like, no,
how you very are dare a woman you have of a color. You are a woman of color, and you may not.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the harassment
is. Not in my Star Wars.
Yeah. It's token diversity, but Lando wasn't because it happened in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, part of me wishes I could live even longer than whatever now is, because I would love to see the people in the future that are bigots try to justify why John Boyega and Kelly Marie Tran were like, no, those were fine, those weren't forced diversity. It's like, you weren't there. Like, people were saying these things at the time. I mean, I think if you go back and look at, like, I think it was like the Sean and Jen channel, he was reading a review. That he said it was about Force Awakens. It's like, oh, how come all the people of the universe, all the aliens, you know, people of color and genders are all coming together to fight the white man? And he's like, yeah, you could see that about Force Awakens, right? Well, okay, well, actually, this is a review from, like, The Empire Strikes Back. You're like, oh, shit. Because people have been saying this shit for the whole time. Like, people were saying at the time that Lando was Force diversity, that, like, why does Leia get so many lines? It's not like, it's always too soon, you know? In the past, mm-hmm. is always like, oh, no, that was fine. That was just people trying to be woke. Or, like,
doing a good thing. It turns out nerds have always trended towards being shitty. Weird.
I mean, so isn't the whole plot of Revenge of the Nerds like, hey, what if these guys were toxic jocks, but instead of being jocks, they were nerds?
Like, it's like, yeah, that's what they've always been anyways.
Yeah. Just because you can't beat up dudes bigger, like, just because you can't beat up dudes doesn't mean you have respect for women. That's not, like, how that works. So, yeah, don't harass people online. Don't harass people in general. Don't be a piece of shit. I think that's pretty fair to say, right? It's,
yep.
Yeah, it cover a that's lot? The, I feel like the overwhelming theme of most of the stuff we're talking about today is don't be a piece of shit, especially, well, not especially on the internet, but on the internet or elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be good to each other. Be good to other people. Don't, you know, don't be an abuser.
Yeah. It's
just little things.
It's actually pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, check it out. You know how easy it is to not harass people? You can literally do nothing.
It takes less energy to not harass someone.
So I guess I don't know. I'm not in the mood to do cute segues today.
No, I was just going to say, like, hey, let's throw, speaking of harassment, throw some trigger warnings out for the rest of this episode, because it's as if the discussion of misogyny regarding Last of Us 2 wasn't a hint, like, you're talking about some fairly shitty garbage people.
Yep.
Yeah.
From here on out.
And thus far, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, which path do you want to go down? What's more in your brains right now?
We just came from video games, so do you want to stay on video games, or?
Yeah, let's talk about Evo.
Yeah, let's talk about Evo. So, Evo got canceled, which is a bad reason, but I guess it's ultimately a good thing that it happened. So, correct me on any details of this that I'm wrong about, because I don't know all of them, but one of the, like, founders or presidents of Evo had some pretty serious allegations come out about sexual misconduct, abuse, assault, however you want to phrase it, however it was.
All of the above.
Okay, great. How fantastic. People are pieces of shit. So slowly, some of the big player I saw was Sonic Fox, but other players were saying similar, like, you know what, I'm not going to compete as long as this guy has, you know, sort of a chair role at Evo. And then video game companies that were either going to sponsor them in some form or fashion, either by having one of their games there or showing a demo, not a demo, but like a trailer or something, or just were giving them funds, were backing out, you know, Bandai Namco, Capcom, the other game companies.
Yeah, I don't know who the exact devs are, but the devs for both Them's Fightin' Herds and I believe Skullgirls.
Yeah, so that'd be Main Six and Lab Zero respectively. Also, Lab Zero is going through a lot of shit because their CEO has been
implicated as well.
Oh, really? The only thing I know about them is that Mike Z has been not so much accused. That's not really the word when he agreed that these things have happened. So it's more of like it's come out that he has said like some racist things.
Yeah, sorry, I confused that. That's what it was.
Okay, just because I don't the bar's already on the ground. People are already pieces of shit. I don't want to accuse people of things they haven't actually been accused for.
Yeah, that was my bad.
That's all good. Things are so bad that this shouldn't be hard to keep straight. But however it is, because there's so much garbage.
Yeah.
So Lab Zero is going through some stuff right now as well. But you know, they pulled out.
So did the is it NeverSoft that does Mortal Kombat?
I want to say NeverRealm Studios.
NeverRealm, there, yeah.
I think NeverSoft was, like, part of Activision who made Tony Hawk. Because I remember the little eyeball. That's some levity, just thinking of video game logos. I'm just trying to feel better. but yeah, pretty much once every game company pulled out of sponsoring Evo, Evo was like, so we're going to just cancel the event that's supposed to start tomorrow.
Yeah, which is, like, insane, because it was literally the day before, like, the,
like, had people, like, traveled and shit? Like,
no, because it was all online this year.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if it was in person, they would have, I think it would have been a worse look, to, I don't know, actually, I don't know what would have been the worst look if it was in person, if they would have still had it, or if they would have canceled it.
Yeah, I don't know, like, how do you deal with that at that point?
I think you just say the dude who is implicated has to leave and can't be here, because a lot of people, yeah. So many people have paid for hotels and flight, that it would be, like, super bad to have them waste that money. So I think if they just remove the people who had the accusations against them. So yeah, Evo got canceled, and that's unfortunately not all, but I think that's a good step, because it's a chance for them to say, we're taking this seriously, or at least saying, we know what the profitable thing is, and the profitable thing is to have the image of taking this seriously.
Yeah.
Which is not enough, and is never going to give the survivors that peace or justice that they deserve, but it's literally the least they can do, I think.
Literally the least.
Yeah.
And, you know, some companies have, like, apologized and just said, we don't stand for this kind of stuff, which is good. They shouldn't stand for these kind of things. So, along with that, a lot of the Smash community is kind of in flux right now, because some of the top players, commentators, and just personalities are being accused of various levels of misconduct, whether it be assault or inappropriate conduct, lewd texting and stuff like that. So that's also not good. There's a lot of complex discussions to have around this. I'm willing to cede the floor if either of you have any points, but one thing that I do want to bring up, there was, and I'm bringing this up for a reason, there was one case of a woman sort of grooming and being abusive towards a younger man. And while that is horrible, and all of these abusers should be held accountable and called out, it's a bad look and a bad thing if you're putting a lot more effort into the one female abuser than all of the male abusers, when it's really like a 1-to-99 sort of ratio thing. Again, it's not bad to put attention.
It's like, doesn't excuse the.
It doesn't excuse it even a little bit. They all need to be held accountable. But if you have 8 hours of streaming a day, and somehow 8 of those hours have been at the one female abuser, and a little footnote at the end of all the male abusers, it kind of seems like you're just trying to find an excuse to either say not all men or not only men, or you're just being a sexist. And I'm sorry if that's news to you, or if you hadn't considered that, but maybe consider calling all the abusers out and not just focusing on the one that makes you feel a little bit better about whatever is going on with you. That said, we also need to tread very carefully around a lot of this, in the sense that we don't want, you know, victims, survivors, to feel extra pressure or embarrassment. It's good that they're coming out, but I don't think it's necessarily our place as people that aren't survivors of this to push them to it. I know one of the, you know, the young man talked about was, you know, sort of in a rough place on the other day, and I won't get too much into it. I mean, we've done trigger warnings, but I don't feel super comfortable talking about it, but one of his friends luckily checked on him and made sure he was safe. But we shouldn't be putting this extra stress on to victims. It's not really our place, as allies or friends, family, whatever it may be. We need to give people the space and the assistance that they need, and not make too many assumptions on that.
The RAIN has support groups and support, like, hotlines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For people, survivors, and we encourage people to reach out.
Yes.
And find support.
And in the midst of all these terrible things, what it is showing us is that there are things that can be done. Some conventions or events or just groups are coming out with new codes of conduct that are pretty encompassing.
Significantly improved than previous.
Yeah, it's sort of those things of, why has this not always been the case? You know, they're putting limits on alcohol and drug use where there are likely to be minors, asking that minors be accompanied by adults that aren't people from the community. So basically, come with a parent or guardian, not somebody who's grooming you, kind of thing.
Not some random, fighting game person who has an uncomfortable level of interest in a minor.
Yes. Yeah. So things like that are being put in place. Putting zero tolerances on alcohol, which is, you know, I don't know when the convention scene is going to get its reckoning, because...
Yeah, I was actually going to interject and say, like, hopefully this leads to a paradigm shift in just convention behavior in general.
Culture behavior,
Yeah, because, I mean, if these things are happening at fighting game community events, from what I understand, the fighting game community is relatively niche compared to other nerdy fandoms. So, unfortunately, that if my math would be correct, which it should be in this case, that means it's probably happening in groups that are bigger than this, you know?
It 100% is. I mean, there's regular stories, even in our local, like, Midwestern convention spheres.
Yeah. About particular problem people.
Yes, of, like, specific problematic individuals and, like, you know, generally, like, maybe once every year or so, there used to be, I mean, I don't see them anymore because I'm not on Facebook, but call-out posts and stuff like that, but those haven't really had the effect of actually changing the culture of the conventions yet. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. So basically, it's, these codes of conduct are pretty good. It was funny to see, not funny, well, no, it was funny to see the code of conduct because there's, like, all these things that are very, very serious, like, we have zero tolerance for drinking, da da da, like, all these different things. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then at the end it just said, no Ahigao merchandise. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Also,
thank God.
Also,
finally.
Like,
also somebody did it. Thing. Finally.
We did it. Society can move ahead.
Which, you know, a few people were like, a few people were like, I don't see how that's going to help, but okay. And it's, you know, it kind of is just in that theme of,
it helps by removing, like, another, like, thing that overly sexualizes what should not be that kind of event.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, you can wear an Ahigao short shirt or sweater or whatever, or, like, full-piece, three-piece suit to, you know, like, one of the adult conventions, one of the, like, various, like, adult expos.
Like, yeah, or, like, to have, your, like, 18-plus panel after midnight at a con, like...
Yeah, but you shouldn't be walking around. And I've said that since those things have come out. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Like...
And it's just generally unpleasant in general. So it's kind of, it's one of those code of conduct things. Like, you should take a bath during this convention. You shouldn't have a smell. It's like, we shouldn't, like, have to make you do this. But if you're not going to, I guess we'll make it a rule. But why did we have to tell you to not do that?
Please shower, please wear deodorant, please don't wear the same oil-stained pants 3 days in a row. That's a very specific thing, but, you know...
A simple...
oh, man, the con days. But no, it's... And that kind of just goes to a generally... Like, a more general discussion of, there's so many things we have to tell people not to do. Obviously, you know, don't assault people, don't be in people's space more than they want you there. Which is not to say you can't walk up to somebody with a similar just be like, hey, how do you feel about this? I like your cosplay. But if people are like, hey, get away from me, or, you know what? It's super easy to do, actually.
It's crazy.
And I
don't say, like, basically, you shouldn't be saying inappropriate things to anybody, regardless of their age. But, you know, like, keep in mind that, like, those spaces are for everybody.
Yes.
So don't go up and comment on people's costume, like...
In, like, a lewd way.
Yes, in, like, a lewd way. Like, I plenty of examples, I just don't feel comfortable saying them.
Sure.
So.
Well, also, you know, and you can't really use, like, don't use a character to be in character and be shitty to people.
Yeah.
The most common example is Deadpool cosplayers, which kind of missed the point of Deadpool. You know, Deadpool is pretty strongly against shitty dudes, but we'll ignore that. But if you want to dress up as, like, Master Roshi from Dragon Ball or, like, Mineta or something, I understand that they're perverts. Please keep that to yourself and to consenting adults that are also, consenting, however that would be. I don't know. Did you determine it before? Maybe it's part of your cosplay. I don't know. Like, don't bother people. We had an example where, a younger person was talking to us, and it was actually very easy to not give them alcohol or be lewd to them. But we were dressed up as, like, Splatoon characters, and they were just really wanted to talk to us, which, you know, I get it. We are very, very cool. I understand. And they wanted to chit-chat with us, and we're like, I don't really want to be in this conversation, but you know what? You're here for the convention, and you want to talk to us. We'll just, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, I like this game, too. Cool. And we're like, okay, well, we're going to go get lunch. And they're like, oh, that's cool. And we're like, it's at the bar. You can't come, which I don't know how true that is, but we said it anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I don't I don't really want to hang out with children.
Yeah, and it was just, like, after, like, a brief interaction of, like, we shared this interest, it was like, okay, we are grown adults of drinking age and are not comfortable, say, hanging out with a teen anymore.
Yeah.
Especially a single, alone teen.
Yeah, I have no interest in doing that, and quite frankly, I question your motives if you do. Not sure why people hang out with children. Stop doing that, you guys are creepy. Also, like, don't groom your fans. I know that a lot of people get some power on Twitter or YouTube or in communities, and they start abusing that and, like, having lewd text with younger people.
Just don't. Yeah, instead, yeah. Just don't.
Yeah, just don't.
You know, I understand if you're, like, really into hentai or something. It's all cool. I like a butt as much as the next guy, but you don't have to send hentai back and forth with minors. It's also something you don't have to do. In fact, you shouldn't do it. Don't do that.
Don't do that with adults if they're not asking for it as well.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, like,
that as well,
all
yes.
of this applies, like, both ways. It's, you know...
Yeah.
And, you know, and if... just to say, like, if we have any minor listeners, which, you know, first off, you must be super cool or have very cool parents to hear the shit we're saying.
What's up, but, you cool baby?
Yeah, what's up, like, you cool baby?
But, please stop roasting us on TikTok. It hurts. Yes. It actually hurts.
But, you know, like, if you are a minor and, like, you have these interactions and people are telling you, oh, you're so mature for your age, all these different things, like, please be aware, like, that's not normal. Like, it's, you know, like, look out for the signs of grooming. It's hard to do that, especially because, you know, I was a teen once and you want to appear, you know,
cool to older people.
Yeah, but it's, you know, like, it's not a normal thing.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's just be aware if there's adults that, like, are taking a particularly fond interest in you, wonder why they don't have more friends of their own age and that sort of thing. Just be careful. If you see this stuff happening as well, if you see somebody harassing or abusing somebody in public, don't just stand by around, you know. I mean, I understand if you also feel your safety is at risk, so at that point, try to find somebody who can help. But don't just stand around and let people, you know, be put in dangerous situations if you cannot all help it. You know, silence is compliance in a lot of ways, so we can all do better. We all should do better. I don't know if these communities really recover from this. Obviously, that's not the most important thing.
Yeah, you know, there's the debate as to whether Evo will be able to, like, recoup their losses and even continue.
And not
or if it's even down. Worth continuing.
I was going to say, it's one of those things that, like, if it was that, if it's that rotten at the root that it's, like, you have to start looking at the roots of the tree, like.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, who's covering for who? Who's letting this happen? It's not like we're saying Mortal Kombat is canceled.
Right.
We're saying, hey, you know what, maybe should Evo even come back from this? And a lot of people in the fighting game community who are not abusers and who are tournament organizers and just proactive people will say, support your local tournaments. You know, Evo had to start, like, as a party in some person's basement at one point, or at an arcade, where they're like, hey, we're all going to play against each other to see who's best. And then it grew and grew and grew into, like, the world's largest thing. There's many other tournaments you can go to, like Combo Breaker or any other thing, at your local conventions whenever they start back up, or online invitationals whenever they start up. We don't have to support just the one thing. And if it's rotten at the core, you know, a few bad apples do in fact spoil the bunch. That's how the whole saying goes. And if it's
the
tree's rotten, the whole, get rid of the tree. That doesn't mean that we're never going to have an apple again, but get rid of that rotten ass tree.
I think that's, we're just not going to have that apple.
Yeah, I think that's a fine thing to say. So, yeah, but, you know, besides that, no, we don't actually have good news coming up. Do you have any good news, like, to, you know,
like
cleanse the palate
cleanser?
For a second? I guess this is good-ish news. These aren't, like, happy topics, but I watched 1917 and Parasite this past weekend. You know, those timely movies that were in this year's Oscars.
Those very happy and...
freshly out, and yeah.
But, no, I quite enjoy the filmmaking from 1917. My partner really, really enjoys this movie, and she wanted to see it again, and so I watched it with her, and it was just, I appreciated the cinematography more than the story itself, but I think it was more of a technical achievement than a story achievement.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I want to watch it again to try to see some of the technical things and some of the little nuanced things. And Parasite, I really enjoyed it. So many times I was like, had awkward laughter, and it's not a subtle movie, in any way. There is some nuance, but I don't think at any point someone would call that movie subtle. But sometimes it's worthwhile to be heavy-handed, and there was just some really interesting stuff in it, so I recommend it. Also, it's pretty funny. Like, the things that are supposed to be funny are funny. So
yeah, definitely.
I recommend it. Watch more
foreign films.
Yeah, watch more foreign films from whatever country you're from. I mean, no need to go out and try to watch more American films. I'm sure wherever you're from, you have access to American films, but you know.
Yeah, you're all right there, but
but it's worthwhile seeing films from other countries. If you live in Canada, maybe watch a Mexican film or a Korean film. Lots of cool Korean stuff on Netflix too.
Classic Japanese cinema is some of the most visually impressive and visually striking stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah, so treat yourself to some Kurosawa movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anime is not the only thing that comes from outside of the United States. We can enjoy lots of things from around the world.
But speaking of things from outside of the United States, remember that puppet show I used to talk about?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we watched another episode of it, and then I realized that the puppets have feet.
Oh.
And they show those feet.
Like shoes
or
like
feet? Was that fairly upsetting?
No, like feet.
Oh, man.
Was that upsetting to you?
Yeah, it was really, like, I didn't enjoy that. But, you know, I thought that would be a little fun thing for you to know, that those puppets do, in fact, have feet.
Oh, good.
And I don't like them.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, some other, like, nice little things. The World Ends With You anime got a date, I think. Or just got some progress on it that it is actually coming out. And the Persona 5 animation is getting a dub, which it'll be a good dub because the dub cast is from the game. The animation's still a little bit weird.
Dub cast is the game cast.
Yep.
Yeah, the animation was rushed in certain ways, but, you know, that makes for some funny screen caps, if nothing else.
Nothing else, so. That's a good news portion of the podcast.
Now back to the bad news.
So this
actually,
is, I mean,
there is some good news in this.
Yeah, there's some good news in this. So, the interesting, like, I've actually, like, I don't know when the first time allegations against Cards Against Humanity, the founder of Cards Against Humanity, came out. I know that I first learned about them through a dating website, because one
Wait,
of
the allegations or the game?
No, the allegations.
Okay.
Because, someone that I had matched with on OkCupid said, like her, like, what's something you might share about yourself thing at the bottom, or, like, the most random thing, and it was, like, I will not play Cards Against Humanity with your family because the creator raped my friend. And I was like, oh, that is a very valid reason to not want to support Cards Against Humanity, and I respect that.
Yes, yeah. That's extremely valid.
Yeah, so, these allegations have been fairly, I think, known for some time, but, like, received more, press in, like, the most recent round of, like, people being outed as garbage people.
They were basically finally, like, given credence.
Yeah.
Which is a shitty thing to say, but it's what happened.
But, like, part of it was, like, also, like, talking about how, like, performatively liberal Cards Against Humanity acts, but apparently they, like, had one of their black employees, like, basically institutionalized for speaking up about racism at the company.
It's...
Which is a lot.
That's disgusting. Yeah. I think it's also weird to... Part of their performative wokeness uses their fan base's performative wokeness as a shield.
Yeah.
Because we've played Cards Against Humanity, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy a game of it from here and there, but I'd also be lying if I said that I loved playing it every time I did.
And there are definitely, like...
There are times.
Cards that make me uncomfortable regardless of, like, the, like, wacky combination.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it says it's a game for horrible people, so that gives you the leeway to try to do some of these horrible things, but inherently there's nothing that would make you do that unless you chose to, right? Some of the more offensive cards are only going to work if you're deciding to do that. Like, if it says, hey, we have a card that says, what is the scum of the earth? And someone lays down the card, black people. Divorced from that, a card that just says black people and a card that says white people have no basis. Depending on who you're playing with, you'll get different results. Like, it, you know, in a black setting, it says, hey, where can you not find seasoning? To them, white people would be a funny card. But to a group of people, they'd say, hey, who's always willing to dance? And to a black group, you say, hey, you know, we're black people. We like to dance or something, right? And that's pretty harmless. But when you have, like, a different group of people playing with those same cards who are more offensive, they could be like, hey, when crime happens, where do you look first? Black people. It's like, okay, so now that's a horrible thing to say. What made you want to do that? Was it the cards themselves? Was it was the permission of the game? Hey, go ahead and be horrible. It's a joke. We're woke. We donated to Obama, you know? Go ahead and say that offensive thing, you know? And that's not actually woke.
Yeah, hate to let you in on that, but it's not actually good. But the upside of all of this bad news about how bad the people who created Cards Against Humanity are is that earlier this week, the staff of Cards Against Humanity announced that they were unionizing.
Woohoo!
That's good.
Yeah, and it's good, especially, like, obviously, like, I am who I am and will always be a fan of people unionizing, for whatever reason. But I think that this is a particularly interesting instance of people unionizing because their stated goal was explicitly to directly combat the abusive workplace, like, in a non-financial sense. Like, was it, like, obviously, like, a union will always help you win better wages, but their concerns were ultimately, like, we can't address the racist culture and, like, hold our leaders in the company accountable without collective bargaining rights. Like, we can't make, like, our goal is to make people laugh, and we can't do that until the workers have power equivalent to the people in charge. And I think that's beautiful.
Nothing's wrong with unionizing.
Yeah, it's a very, like, unique and good reason to unionize. I mean, I feel like almost any given reason is a good reason to want to unionize, but this specifically, like, the way that they word it is different.
Yeah, it's like, it's different, it, like, and it gives me, like, some hope and inspiration, like, in my own, like, union activist career to, like, prove to people, like, that a union is a way you can make change on a diversity standpoint in addition to, like, better wages and stuff. Like, I think, like, it's a good proof that a union is not just there to get you a pension kind of thing, like...
Yeah. Hell, when I worked at a casino, the entire reason for that the dealers wanted to vote in a union was to be able to count their own tips.
Like, seriously, like...
Yeah.
Crazy shit. You know, capitalism be crazy, y'all.
Yeah, I've dealt with unions in a few different ways, and, you know, I've been blessed, I guess you could say, or at least privileged in a way that most of my jobs that I've had, well, actually all the jobs I've had, don't really require too much physical labor or anything that would put me, like, in a union position, which you know, it's take it as you will. And since I've been closer to the management on that side, a lot of it has been negative feelings towards unions and all that, because it gets in the way of, like, profit, or it makes the business not work, etc., etc. One of my jobs, I had a run-in with the union, but I wasn't able to, like, move a whiteboard across a building to use, because that was, you know, maintenance's job. I'm like, man, this is really unfortunate. I just want to do this thing. Like, I don't want their job. I just want to not have to wait till tomorrow to do this. But then the older I got, I'm like, oh, yeah, because if I do that, management starts having interns. Hey, just carry that yourself. And then eventually, like, hey, we have all these interns doing that. You don't need to do it anymore. And then it screws people out of their job, so it makes sense.
Yep. That's one of those, like, things that, like, it was, like, it seems silly now, but, like, there's a reason that it was in the contract to begin with. Like,
yeah, there's, like, entire, like, convention centers and stuff that are staffed by, like, you know, a variety of workers, some of which who are union and who are not. And it's like, well, you know, don't try to set up a plug outlet here or there because the union worker has to do that. But, like, it makes sense, you know. It's,
yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the times it's not necessarily you as the smaller worker or, like, random passerby that they don't have trust in. It's just in management. Because they'll, like, hey, I don't think you're trying to take my job, but if you do it one time, management will try to get you to keep doing it. Yeah. Or we'll say, oh, people can handle their own plugs. We don't need an electrician anymore. It's like, that's not true. So stuff like that will start to happen. So I get it. And you know, just be aware of people that are telling you unions are bad, or they try to tell you like, all the downsides to running a union. Like, oh, yeah, hey,
especially
you know,
if
like,
that
union dues, if you don't pay them, you'll be able to like buy an Xbox or something. It's like, what? What do you mean? Like, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, especially if it's coming from your employer. Also, like, that can be very illegal for them to discourage or disallow union discussion.
Yeah, so if you are thinking about how to better your own workplace, if it is shitty because of harassment or any other reason, consider unions.
Yep.
But, and I say this as a completely biased, personally a union organizer, but,
The track record is there. Yeah, I think I'm biased, like, for the other reason. I've had to deal with, like, trying to not suppress unions, but just being like, hey, don't promote this enough to be like, yeah, I probably should have.
mm-hmm.
And that's not in any particular workplace. It's just, like, a concept, you know?
Yeah.
I've never been told at work to squelch a union. I've never been told anything like that, but I'm adept at reading between lines.
Yeah, I mean, when I worked at the casino, we specifically had, you know, daily meetings before we would go up to our shifts.
Hostage meetings?
Yeah, and multiple times while the union talks were in place, management would come in and basically, like, a couple times it was very close to being like, you just did something hella illegal, because they would just come in and be like, you really shouldn't have a union, like, it's like, you don't get to tell us that.
That's not how that goes, guys.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think the balance you want to have is you want your workers to be allowed to unionize if they choose, but you want to create a situation in which they don't immediately feel the need to unionize, but they still will just because they see the benefit in it. But, like,
but they're not unionizing because of your direct behavior.
Yeah, like, I shouldn't go to work and be like, man, if I had a union, things would be better here, like, because we're getting treated like garbage. You want to create the situation in which your employees don't feel that they need to unionize, but they still should because it's a good idea. I think that's what I always said. I'm like, hey, if you're afraid your people want to unionize, that says more about you than it does about them, my guy. Like, yeah, that's a pretty bad sign, Chief. But that's an opinion I've always held. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
More unions, please.
That's the track. And, so hopefully that's one way that's still kind of a legal process, but, like, not necessarily, like, needing to, like, go to the cops to deal with a harasser or something like that. You know, like, it's a step that's more structural that you can take to, like, better a situation for everyone involved.
Yeah.
So besides that, you asked us to keep you accountable to stay under an hour today, and we are just about there, so.
We are.
Excuse me.
So how about we knock out some social media business? Does that sound like a good idea?
Well, I think before we knock out social media business, why don't we go ahead and just plug one more time that this next Saturday, the 11th, there will be a charity stream. If you somehow missed us discussing at the beginning of the show, here it is again.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
It should be on Twitch and YouTube. We'll have links on the social media channels coming out. They should already be out on whichever channels you find, like social media. But we will put them in the show notes as well, because it should come out a couple days after the podcast and a couple days before the actual stream. But yeah, we'll have the information for that. So get your YouTube accounts, get your Twitch accounts ready to go. We'll have a good old time. We're going to have a nice, respectful atmosphere and stuff like that. And we'd appreciate if you stop by for a couple hours or so.
Yeah. Hey, come hang out. Come give if you can. Give your time or your money. And hope you have a fun time.
Yeah.
Heck to yeah. Who should do the biz today?
I vote Steph.
Crazy. What a guess. I can take it. I got this.
Okie doke.
I have the power. So if you want to find us on the internet, you can do that. You can find the podcast in a browser at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. Sorry, not .com, .fm. Like a radio station. you can find us on Facebook at Character Reveal. You can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal. You can find us on Twitter at Character Rev, Character R-E-V. You can find Brother Dom anywhere on the internet at Brother Dom. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Captain Steph on Twitter, Snowqueer on Tumblr, and Hello Steph on Instagram. See, how I did that was you can find me anywhere on the internet, but with different names, unlike with Dom, who you can find everywhere on the internet with the same name. And you can find Eric at Tendilosi on Twitter.
You can shout Character Reveal at your phone and Siri will take you right to the podcast.
Yeah, it's very possible. Let's see, actually. Let's find out.
Uh-oh, live experiments.
Hey, Siri. Open Character Reveal. Doesn't look like I have an app named Character Reveal.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Damn.
We'll get to work on an app soon.
Yeah, I didn't want to say play Character Reveal because I am in the middle of another podcast. I didn't want to do it this spot. But yeah, so in all of the pod places that you are familiar with, you can find us to listen and give us a rate and review if that is an option on that platform. And yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, have a nice day.
Be as good of people as you can be.
Yeah.
Be.
Try to even better than you can be.
Yeah. You know, I would say be best, but somebody's already taken
claimed
that one.
Slogan.
Yeah. What a junk ass thing to do. I'll end
TM,
with
TM TM.
I think it's a quote that was in Overwatch. Don't see the world for what it is, but what it could be. And that's something that always gives me chills to think about. But with that closing line, until next time, see you later.
Bye.
Goodbye.